A written transcript of this episode is provided by Starburst. For more information, you can see the show notes.
Welcome to Data Mesh Radio with your host, Scott Herleman, sponsored by Starburst. Starburst is a single platform to help you activate all your data, no matter where it lives. Check out our new Data Products for Dummies ebook to learn more about how your organization can utilize data products. To download your free copy, head on over to starburst.io.
Data Mesh Radio is provided as a free community resource by Data Mesh Understanding. It is produced and hosted by me, Scott Herleman. I started this podcast as a place for practitioners to get useful information about Data Mesh, and we're at over 200 episodes. I've now left DataStax, thanks for all their help in founding things, but I've left to start Data Mesh Understanding, which is also helping practitioners to get to the information needed to do Data Mesh well. We have free implementer introduction and roundtable programs, in addition to the more advanced yet affordable offerings. So please do get in touch if you're looking for more information on how to approach Data Mesh. Just check datameshunderstanding.com for more info. There's also a helpful organization of past Data Mesh Radio episodes there if you want to dig into specific topics rather than digging through 200 different episodes. So with that, let's hit the funky intro music and listen to what you'll hear about in this interview episode. Effective partnering with business execs, learnings from another data mesh journey. Bottom line up front, what are you going to hear about and learn about in this episode? I interviewed Jessica Milhomen, who is an analytics engineering manager at Nubank. Be clear though, she was only representing her own views on the episode. Here are some key takeaways or thoughts from Jessica's point of view. Number one, there are no silver bullets in data. Be prepared to make trade-offs and make non-data folks understand that too. Number two, far too often, people are looking only at a target end result of leveraging data. Many execs aren't learning or leaning in to how to actually work with the data, set themselves up to succeed through data. Data isn't a magic wand. It takes effort to drive results. Number three, relatedly, there's a disconnect between the impact of bad quality data and what business partners need to do to ensure data is high enough quality for them. Number four, poor data quality results in four potential issues that cost the company: regulatory violations and fines, higher operational costs, loss of revenue, and negative reputational impact. Number five, there's a real lack of understanding by the business execs of how the data work ties directly into their strategy and day-to-day. It's not integrated. Good data work isn't simply an output. It needs to be integrated into your general business initiatives. Number six, more business execs really need to embrace data as a product and data product thinking. Instead of a focus on only the short-term impact of data, typically answering a single question, how can we integrate data into our work to drive short, mid, and long-term value? Number seven, potentially controversial, in data mesh, within larger domains like marketing or credit cards in a bank, it is absolutely okay to have a centralized data team within that domain rather than trying to have smaller data product teams in each subdomain. Scott, note, this is actually a really common pattern and seems to work well. Number eight, relatedly, the pattern of centralized data teams in the domains leads to easier compliance with regulators because there is one team focused on reporting one view instead of trying to have multiple teams contribute to that view of that kind of domain. Number nine, when you really start to federate data ownership, business execs can now partner far easier with other business execs in other domains leveraging data. Instead of having the central data team try to translate between those two domains, there's a focus on what needs to get done and the data work flows from that instead of the data work being the focus. It's the engine that powers their collaboration, but it's no longer kind of the point. Number 10, partnering with those who are, quote, are closer to the reality of the business, it's easier and more likely to drive good outcomes, meaning not the senior execs, but the senior execs often have to be on board with the work and the target results. So work on communicating up, but closely collaborating at lower levels rather than only trying to work with the stakeholders. Number 11, data for regulators often has a lot of potential reuse for your own organization. Lean into finding those areas where you can do the data work once and get value twice, right? It's kind of a key tenet of data mesh in general, of do the work once to get more and more value from. Number 12, potentially controversial, really consider role titles in data mesh. Data product owner might be too nebulous and quickly accumulate too many responsibilities. Data product manager is easier to understand the scope of responsibilities and the specific area of focus. So, Scott note here, this comes up a lot and is generally starting with data product owner and moving to data product manager, because that's kind of what Jamak has recommended. But what I'm seeing is that data product manager is the thing that's stickier, and data product owner ends up causing issues. Number 13, another potentially controversial one, data leaders need to understand product management. To really scale data work, we have to start treating all aspects as a product practice. CTOs down to software engineers need to understand product management. It's time for the data org too, as well. And finally, number 14, data leaders need to have significant communication skills while maintaining their understandings of data best practices. It's all a delicate balance, but the data work doesn't speak for itself. Okay, enough of just me. Let's hear from our awesome guest in this interview episode. Okay, very, very excited for today's episode. I've got Jessica Miljoman here, who is an analytics engineering manager at Nubank. To be clear, though, she's only representing her own views. So, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different interesting things. But one of the big things that I've seen that it's been hard to have a conversation around this and be as blunt as I'd like. So I hope we can do that a little bit of, you know, there's this idea of data strategy. We talk to data strategy and people keep leaning into the data is very important, but then it's just kind of blah, blah, blah. What are the actual actions? Like, what should we be doing? There isn't a clear approach to leveraging or like, what are the target outcomes? And, you know, how do we get people to actually lean in instead of lean in word only? And then at Nubank specifically, why have they moved from the role or title or concept of data product owner to data product manager or management, and why that's kind of been a shift. How should we think about structuring teams to actually work with domains? Can we have teams that are actually centralized within the domains? You know, centralization is really only the bad thing when it's a bottleneck. So how do we think about actually doing that? Thinking about common and shared source of truth instead of, you know, that kind of idea of single source of truth. And why aren't people focused on generating the right data? And how do we actually get them to start to think about that? But before we jump into that, Jessica, if you don't mind, if you could give people a bit of an introduction to yourself, and then we can jump into the conversation at hand.
Sure. First of all, thanks a lot for the invite, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here. And hi, everyone. I'm Jess. I've been working with data for more than 16 years. And I've worked in consultant companies, and I have a lot of experience working in fintechs and other kind of startups. At Nubank, I'm the squad leader of the global team for data in fraud, and I'm performing as the responsibility of analytics engineering job function leader, which kind of the chapter leader. So thanks so much. Let's get started.
Well, it's funny, the number of people who've been so focused in fraud, Jean-Georges Perrin and Kim Tees at PayPal were, Chris Ricomini was talking about that when he was at WePay or Afterpay, one of those two. But like that, yeah, within the financial services space, you know, fraud ends up being much bigger than I think people outside of it really expect. But let's start with that idea of kind of where we go from people leaning into the concept of data is very important to actually doing something. So let's talk, you know, kind of in generics, obviously, but what are you seeing when you're trying to talk to people that aren't the data people, when they say data is important, but then don't really understand what data really means and how to start to leverage it? Like what should be the signs people maybe watch for, or how can we start to think about having conversations where we get people to get it instead of just parrot back, data is the new oil, data is the new gold, or whatever?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think it's a discussion that we have around a lot of places. What I see is that the companies, the professionals, everybody is interested in getting the results, the benefits to the business with the data, but they are usually thinking about the final result of it. For instance, we've been talking a lot of data science and now about the AI product and this kind of really relevant and important solutions in terms of data for the business as a whole. But what I feel that's lacking is the clarity about how we should work with the data, considering the aspects of data as a product, as Mac has been sharing with Data Mesh as a whole. So one point that I see that is complex is related to this data quality vision, because we are used to talk about how we're going to generate revenues or reduce costs or this kind of things based on these final solutions using the, as I've mentioned, the data science models and this kind of work with also using the risks. But to have it running in a accurate manner, it is important to have the data quality work. And I think it is a topic that is not used, like it's not a common topic that the people talk about, you know, and I think it is pretty important. For instance, I've seen a recent report that the Gartner company did related to that. And what they discover is that the companies are having costs early in 12, almost 13 million of dollars by year, besides the negative impacts in revenue and other scenarios. And it is how it is impacting the business for the companies as a whole. It's based in four pillars in general. The first one is that related to the compliance violations. So if you don't have the accurate data to report to the regulations, we're going to have issues related to that. The second thing is related to the operational costs. Oh, if we don't have accurate data and standardized processes that are using this data, we are going to have costs, unexpected costs. And it's related to the data cost management itself, or the architecture, the process as a whole, and also in the operational process. The third pillar is the loss of revenue. So if you don't have accurate data, we are not going to be able to have analytical process and work that's going to support us to identify opportunities to generate revenues or to reduce costs. And the last one is pretty important also, is the reputation image. So if you don't have accurate data, we can execute our operation in a really negative perspective and generate a negative reputation image. So we have some scenarios that were in the media, in the news, talking about wrong calculations that were done with the data and generated tens of million costs for companies. And so it is important to think about the data quality. Since the beginning, as the most important, the fundamental for the whole process and the whole benefits that we can have with the data as a whole.
Yeah, I think so. One thing that I bring up a fair amount is the underpants gnomes. It's this thing from South Park where it's these little gnomes that go in and steal people's underwear. And their business plan is step one, steal underwear. Step two, question marks. Step three, profit. And I feel like we have that with data of, or you know, it's like saying, we're going to open a restaurant and we're going to make the best meals possible and not paying any attention to the entire sourcing and supply chain of your food. It's like, we're going to make the best meal possible. We're going to have the best, you know, customer experience. And you're not focused on what actually has to go in to do that. You're just trying to play, I'm going to be able to just, you know, figure it out and do that. Or you all do that stuff and I don't need to engage to understand what I'm actually bringing in and what's important versus, you know, chefs that are very, very excellent chefs and things. They'll go and they'll sample and go, do I want this vegetable from this region or this region, depending on the acidity of the soil, and that like the flavor is going to be different. It's going to be a different texture. It's going to have all of these different things. And so I feel like with data, exactly what you're saying of there are all these bad side effects and there are all these of doing it wrong. And there are all these potential benefits of doing it right. But people want there to be kind of a magic wand and the information to just be delivered. And Marissa Fish talked about this a little bit of we were kind of going back and forth on this model that she had, this mental model of there's, do you want the data? Do you want the data and the insights? Or do you want the insights and the so what? And we're so used to thinking people want the data when all they want is the insights and the so what. And so when you handed them the data and they're expecting the insights and the so what, nobody's in charge of generating the insights. Nobody's in charge of figuring out the so what. And so it just becomes this mess in there. So I liked a lot of what you were saying in there. How do we think about how have you seen working with people to get past that idea of kind of this magic wand of make the data so it gives me the value versus like them leaning in to get what they actually need? You know, it's again, kind of this, like when you build a relationship with somebody, do you just say like the relationship must be perfect or do you build towards something that's going to work for everybody? And that's a well-functioning relationship. We kind of have to think about that in data from my side. So like how, you know, you've been doing consulting, you've worked in multiple companies, like how have you seen this work well, or what are some things that you might tell people to avoid?
I think this question is the million of dollars one. But what I'd say is that I think it's totally okay and actually fair to have this desire of having everything and then the companies they like to have the result of it. But what I see that it is important, it's to come to design and consider the full data strategy for it. It's not just to develop the model, like the data science model or anything that is going to generate these results, which again is really important. But we have this background, like this background work, back end, let's say like that. Because we need to have this work and this strategy defined to work with the data quality as a whole. And how we could generate this result while we are developing this strategy and this work. I'd say that the best would be to define a use case and work based on this use case. So, for instance, if you have, a marketing project that it will be necessary to define a campaign that you are going to work with the whole process. So define this whole strategy considering not just the short, but the mid and the long-term vision for the solution that you are working, and get started. Giving the results, showing the results in the short term, but already working to have this mid and long term vision implemented. And the other point that I see is that it's not just to have this definition for the project itself. One thing that I see that is pretty important is to develop products that are going to generate data as a product. So it is one of these points that are related to this short, mid, and long term. And I can talk a lot about it, but what I see is that the data mesh, the idea of the data mesh, of decentralizing the responsibilities for the owners of the domains is really great. But I see the opportunity to have this central organization thinking about the platform itself also inside this decentralized organization. So just to be clear about what I'm talking here, let's imagine that we are going to have the macro domains. So the macro domains will be like marketing. We are going, it is a big domain there, and there's a lot of subdomains inside just marketing, which is a big organization, and it is a big domain. And we have it for fraud, and we have, thinking about fintechs, for instance, credit card. And let's say that each product or each department will be a big domain, but we're going to have a lot of subdomains inside these domains, and we have this relation among the macro domains and among the subdomains. So it is important to have it decentralized, but I see that it's important also to have this centralized approach inside the macro domains. Why? Because we're going to need to have this full view of the macro domains. So, for instance, in marketing, we're going to have teams responsible to marketing, responsible to work in different campaigns and different goals and targets. However, thinking about the macro domain, it is necessary to understand which campaigns in general it will be standardized. We need to have this full vision of markets. Like, it will be necessary to see how much campaigns that we had for which purpose, what was the results of it, what was not working. And everything will be a centralized view. Of course, that it will be necessary to have this decentralized data as a product happening and performed by each one of the data domain owners. But it is important to have decentralized. But the same thing for fraud or for credit card. In general, we're going to have a lot of subdomain teams and subdomain topics, of course, in each one of these, what I'm calling macro domains. But it will be necessary to have this consolidated views. And when I'm talking about it, it's not just related to the needs for the analytical perspective, but also for the others. Like, as I mentioned, we are going to have compliance responsibilities where we'll need to report to regulators, agents, and we need to have this consolidated information. And it is important to have this consolidated view for the macro domains. And what I think it's important to think is not to have kind of manual work. We should think, then here is the approach that I see, that we have opportunities to work with data products that are going to enable the generation of data as a product. Now, so to address the needs for the macro domains, my perspective, we should design, implement data products that are going to support this decentralized ownership for the domains, the subdomains, and have it consolidated in an automated manner. Because it's pretty complex to have a central team working manually and considering each one of the business rules that each one of the subdomains are going to work. Because it is everybody is running, is working. The business is alive. So every day, new topics are going to emerge. And that's the reason why I think we have this pretty interest. This interesting in this topic for the data mesh as a whole, because we need to have this autonomy to have the data sooner and accurate and manage it by the owners of the domains. But we also have these needs of this consolidated information for the macro domains. So it is important to have the solutions available. And again, my perspective, it totally makes sense to have a product that's going to support in a most efficient manner as possible, considering this automated solution.
Yeah, trying to think, at Vista, Jill Maffeo was talking about this somewhat, of the balance between, is this really, really only useful to the use case, or is this useful to the entire domain versus the entire company? And what you're talking about is something other people have started to surface more and more, is when you have people that are in these kind of what you're calling micro domains, right? These very small, these two pizza teams, these very, very specific focus areas, they don't really fully understand how their data fits into the greater organizational picture. And you need to create products that make it so it can fit into that greater organizational picture. So exactly what you're talking about, of that like central team, whether they're doing the actual development, the ownership, that central team within those domains or not, there still needs to be some ability for them to figure out, how does my information map into the greater organization? Because otherwise, you are creating high quality data silos no matter what. Even if you have, hey, we've got interoperability. Somebody was saying, like, interoperability versus interconnectivity versus interusability or something like that. I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it's like, can we combine the data? And it's technically correct to combine the data. Okay, we can combine them because we're using the same timestamps and, you know, this that same approach and maybe the same user ID, but it makes absolutely no sense because you can't actually add any value by connecting this data versus are we thinking about creating a way where if that domain wants to manage their own internal data in a different way, they want to look at it in some completely separate way, fine. But you also provide ways for them to play in that greater organization. But like explaining that to people, again, going back to what we were talking about kind of at the start of explaining that to a business leader as to, hey, you have to play well with others. You know, in a lot of organizations, they're like, I'm very, very independent. And so, no, you know, I was talking with somebody who was saying like their company structure is basically many companies within and everybody owns their own like entire company within this greater company. And so people really get frustrated whenever anybody tells them they have to do something. So like, have you found good ways to either show the value or incentivize or, and again, this is you said, you know, earlier there was the $1 million question. This might be the $1 billion question of like, how do you get people to actually do this? But have you found good ways to get those people to at least understand the problem, if not play nice with others?
Yeah, it is a challenge for sure. And it has been a challenge for a long time. But what I see thinking about the experience that I had, there's not a silver bullet for sure. But thinking about this scenario of this centralized, because what I see that is the best way to work, again, considering all the learnings that we are developing and etc. But my vision for now is that the best way is to have this centralized team and also the decentralized teams inside a macro domain. And who is going to use, who are the customers of each one of these teams? So the customers for the centralized teams and these subdomains would be also the decentralized teams and the centralized team and the macro BU, the macro business unit, macro domain, let's say like that. And who is going to be the owner of the customer of this macro domain? It will be the decentralized teams and also the other macro domains teams and the other subdomain teams. And for this, to define what will be implemented in this centralized and this macro domain structure, it would be necessary to involve all the customers and identify what is necessary to be implemented. So the best manner I see that we're going to have this partnership would be involving the people that is interested in the solution itself, because they are going to feel that they are part of it. They are sharing what they need. And in general, I think the frustration that we have for everything that we work is that the people need to understand why that solution is important for them. So as soon as you have this vision of like why it is important to me, as long as you have this visibility, you're going to be able and interested in participate and do this work together. So I see that is one of the keys to work and move on. because then it will be possible to have all these definitions that they are going to be able to use as well. And again, considering this macro view, for instance, thinking about the scenarios that I've mentioned, like marks, you know, credit cards and fraud, we're going to need the data among these macro domains. So each one of the areas will need this information from the macro business units, the domains as a whole. So I think it would be very much like that, involving the customers on the design conception of what will be implemented. And this, it will be necessary to develop this final data in the macro domain. However, the product that's going to generate it to support the decentralized view, I think it's more technical. So, of course, it is important to have the vision of the customers in general, but I don't think it's necessary to have this deeper participation, because it will be the technical design about how the product is going to run and achieve each one of the requirements that are necessary in terms of automation, security, and availability and everything else. So for this, I don't think it's necessary to have this deeper participation.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about there is something I've mentioned with a lot of people. Of people are dragging people on the sausage factory tour instead of they're there for a tasting. They want to eat sausage. They want to know what's in it, but know what's in it as in what flavor am I going to get, not exactly how this stuff is made. And so I think that is a lot of what you're talking about is, again, going back to that. Do you want the data? Do you want the insights? Or do you want the insights and the so what? Most of the time, people want the insights and the so what. There are people who definitely do want the data, and those are the tech-to-tech people. But the business leaders want to ensure that they can get the information flowing to them to do their work, because they have something they want to accomplish, and it's not due data. They have something that they want to accomplish relative to their business, and data can help them get there, but that's it. Like, they don't care at the end of the day. They don't care if it's, you know, wishing upon a magic star, or it's, you know, very complex data product work. If it works and it's scalable and it's reliable, they don't care. They want it to actually work. But sometimes you do have to dig into what information do you actually need? Like, have you had any success in getting those people to lean in instead of, I just want the information of, well, you have to understand this part of it to really say, you know, if the data is created this way, if it is processed this way, this is the impact, versus if we do it a different way, then it will have a different impact? Or is that nuance too, is there too much like in the weeds type of thing for, you know, those business leaders versus kind of the people underneath them that are technical? Have you found that where that balance lies? Because that communication, data people want to talk data. And so when they get into those things, they always try and jump into those weeds because they're like, it's super important. And it's like, is it? Or it's like, do you want me to make the call here? If we do this way, it'll mean this thing. If we do it this way, it'll mean this thing. Which one do you prefer? Okay, boom. Right? Like, how do you think about that actual conversation, you know, being as part of that to make it so that, you know, you're the analytics engineering manager. You have to know what to go build, right? You have to go and do the actual work, but you have to extract from them what needs to be done and why. Like, have you found a good way to have that conversation? And I'm asking a tough question because I'm not finding very many kind of frameworks for doing this well.
Yeah. I don't have the silver bullet. I'm working to generate it. But yeah, I mean, in this journey, I had a success in one scenario, like in one big project that we were working for a regulatory project. And for this, of course, it is necessary to have data from a lot of areas to have this information. So the way to have it implemented was really hard. Because in general, what I see that is the part, again, I think it's the main pain point that we have for data as a whole is exactly this clarity about the leaders, this interest to understand from the leaders. And if we had it, I think we would like have a lot of success in the project data as a whole, because I think it's pretty related to the data strategy, and we can talk later about just about the vision that I have for the leaders, the data leaders as a whole. I think it's an important role to work on this path. But talking about the scenario that I had, we were working on our regulatory project, and we get started the design, like by designing this the solution, and it was being clearer for the professionals involved from other areas and etc. As soon as we were able to deliver the short term results, because during the process. And mainly during the beginning of it, it's really hard because it's just in the brainstorm and in the phase of conversations, and it becomes how can I say, touchable? I don't know, something that is possible to touch, to see that it's happening. As soon as it is delivered, so as soon they can see the results of it. At the end, it was really good. Like it was 1 year of project, and it was possible to have all the information available in an automated manner. Also considering these decentralized responsibilities. And the partner macro domain was pretty happy, and also doing the marketing of the solution, because they were happy to see what, because they were facing a lot of challenges, also like a lot of problems, because they needed the data consolidated for their routine to have this regulatory reports, and they was the responsible to consolidate everything from all the macro domains, which they should actually be receiving, because they are the customers and not the responsible to implement this vision for each one of the macro macro domains. So I think the way, what the key points here that supported it by the end was this this invitation of them to participate on the design of the needs that like were necessary to have this regulatory information, again thinking about what's necessary for them, and see the short term results. So for the phase one, here's the result. The phase two, here's the result. Until the end of the solution, as soon as they saw that the solution was resolving a problem that they were facing, that the solution was really solving a problem that they had, and it was good and important for their reality. Then they got started performing like a partners. But again, it's a journey. So the way that I see now is to work with use case and keep working in this journey as a whole. Now, it's important to mention is that it, of course, is more easier to have the partnership of the professionals, the leadership that are more close of the reality than the most senior leaders, because they are not in the reality. So it is important to give this visibility. And is there that I see that is important to have the data leaders supporting this communication by giving the visibility about why the whole process is necessary, all the complexities, and also the results that we have to keep them interested and engaged, even though it is not pretty easy to be done.
I think so. Nalia Sabirzainova was talking about when you're designing, or when you're designing any system, when you want to go to the users and ask what are your pains and how do you want those solved. And, you know, you're going to come back with something that at least addresses the fact that they have pains. It may not solve it in the way that they want. It may not solve all of their problems yet. But a lot of what you're talking about there is it's frustrating in a way to say that data just boils down to people. But at the same point, it does so much. It's about if you can't communicate the information back and forth, it doesn't matter all of the ones and zeros that you're slinging around, all the advanced tech that you're doing, because it's just not scalable. It doesn't drive to what matters. And again, you said you've got to talk to these people early so that they lean in and they go, oh, here are our problems. Here is how we want to engage with you. Because if people feel seen and heard, then they lean in, right? It's amazing. I do conversations with people, you know, not on the podcast as well. And a lot of people express frustrations to me around their data mesh implementation. And everyone goes, am I the only one struggling with this? And I keep pointing them to the episode that I think is the most important episode, which I think is episode 25. But it's Mesh Musings number 5. And it's like, it's not just you. You're not the only one. You're not the only one facing this problem. And then people go, oh, okay, I get it. Like, I feel so much better. But it's amazing how simple some of this stuff is. But within a company, people expect the data people to not be focused on the people information communication. It's you're just supposed to, I just tell you what you're supposed to do and you go do it, because that's how we've done data for so long. And so it's difficult. I wanted to kind of as well wrap this into what you were talking about in the pre-call with me about, it's kind of the same thing of data product owner versus data product management and manager of like, how do we manage this communication? How do we think about communicating to people what needs to be done, what will be done, who owns it, how, why? Like, why did you? It's funny. Most companies that I talk to that either start with data product owner, move to data product manager or data product management, or that start with only data product manager, end up saying we also have a separate set of responsibilities, if not role, of data product owner. And it's just like everyone, no matter what they try first, they realize that it doesn't work in the way that they think it's going to do. So they have to augment it. But I'd love to hear, what was your story there around starting as data product owner? And then you realized, if we actually want a product, we need product management. We need product managers.
Sure. Actually, this title, now again, I'm going to share my thoughts here. But when we get started working with product as a whole, the title that we had defined by Scrum was the product owner. So in general, it's one of the areas, and talking about the experience that I had, the product owners was the were actually the owners of the product as a whole. And this Scrum is not defined with layer that are going to work like operational, tactful, or strategical. In general, it is touching all of them. And I see that as soon as this role has like has been growing, it was clear the necessity of having people focusing to one of these layers, operational, tactical, and strategical. And I believe that's the reason why the titles were changing. That's the vision that I have in general, because the responsibilities were and are pretty much similar. But when I got started working with that, how it happened, it was like we had a central team, and the company was growing, and it was necessary to have someone responsible to have this interface with the customers, to understand the perspective of the customers, to design and treat data as a product, considering all the users as customers. So it was not common to have product owners for technical products. So the first experimentation was with data, and I've received this invitation to work with it, considering my experience and my profile as a whole. So the team suggested at that moment for me to get this responsibility. But it was evolving also for other areas of the company, also for the infrastructure, like having people to take care about the infrastructure of the company as a whole. So that's the way that we get started, that I get started performing this role. And nowadays, I'm the squad leader. So I'm the responsible to define the strategy, define this roadmap. And here I'd like to add one point again, considering my perspective, my vision. I think for as soon as you are a data leader and data manager, it is important that you evolve, that you develop the product management skills, because it is important to have this this strategical view. Because what I see is that it is the path that you're going to have in the mid long term, thinking about careers and etc. Because it is important to the difference is exactly that. You need to be able to define the strategy and put that in place with tactical and operational leadership to gather your team to make sure that you're going to bring these results. And to me, the role of the data leader is the key on this whole communication issues that we'll be talking about. So in my point of view, it is important to have like the leaders, the managers, develop this strategic view, this product view, and have it evolving. because the technical skills are pretty important to understand where are the issues, what are the issues, to then be able to gather with teams, have the brainstorms and design the solutions. So here we are touching other areas, but I think like it is the path, at least I believe that it's the path that you're going to have. The leaders should have this umbrella, this, I don't know how can I say this in English, like the options, a lot of options, the topics in this bag of knowledges. So it is important to have the communication, the strategic view, the strategic vision, the skills of products to be able to design it, and everything related to that.
Yeah, well, and a couple of things that came through that for me was, especially when you were talking about product owner versus product manager, product management is known, right? Like data products, managing data as a product, as difficult as it is, I think, to explain it to people, it's a little bit about that, like, you know it when you see it. But like, this isn't some magical new thing that we're inventing for data. There's different considerations and stuff. But so much of this is like thinking about, where are you getting your data from? How are you processing? Like just basic blocking and tackling. And I think, you know, you were talking about strategy around data, and execution is the thing that ends up mattering, right? Like people say culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I always thought that was a very stupid phrase, quite honestly, because it's not culture, it's execution. Execution eats everything for breakfast or whatever. It's the thing that matters. But if you set yourself up to be better at execution through data, you do that via setting your strategy. You do that via setting a strategy to make it so that you have more information flowing to help you execute and make better strategy. But people think of strategy as the only thing that data informs. And so like a lot of what you were talking about there, I think flows into that greater idea of, hey, we have day-to-day jobs. It's not to just think up what is the big thing that's going to be 3 years from now. We have to figure out how we move forward. How do you, help me help you. Help me give you the information you need so that you don't have to make these huge bets every once a year. You're making small bets every week, every day, that you're making these things and you're constantly trying and then measuring, did that work? And that you're making these small changes as you're executing. And so I think a lot of what you were talking about there is like, how do you communicate the difference between, you've thought of data as reporting on what has happened and maybe we have a little bit of crystal ball, but it's pretty foggy and doesn't work, versus how do we set you up in such a way where you are capable yourself and you're able to make other people capable about what you're seeing, especially when you think about a bank and how everything interplays and all that. And you do have the co-opetition model of, you know, okay, this person only has X number of dollars. If you know, my product gets 70% and your product gets 30, or if I have 100% right now, they only have 100%. So if I'm trying to give you information to get that extra 20%, you're taking that from me. So like all of this starts to kind of all co-mingle. But I think a lot of what you were saying there is just, we need to pop up to a higher level. And again, go back to, why are we doing this? Why should you, as the person, lean in? What are you trying to accomplish? You tell me your business goals, and then we work backwards towards the data, and then we create a scalable, productized solution. And sorry, I'm just going on and on. But like, it feels like everything that you're saying there, it's just this mounting frustration that every data person that I talk to has of like, you know, what do you mean you're not understanding the underlying bedrock? And I think there's these hidden assumptions that business people still have about data that makes it so they're still not leaning in, and it's frustrating. So I want to give you lots of space to react to that, but that felt like that's what a lot of what you were saying was building up to.
Yeah, I think in general, yeah, that's the challenge, right? Exactly, that's the challenge. And I see that's the challenge that a lot of data professionals are facing. But again, considering it, I see a lot of opportunities. So if we get started thinking about how to solve this issue, we're going to, I hope, to find a solution for it. But yeah, I think that's it. And I think this is strategy and this execution, as you've mentioned, is important. But again, also considering this deliverables in short term to give this visibility for the business as a whole, because in the end, we need to give it to show the results. But yes, that this is for sure the challenge that we have.
Yeah, incremental value delivery, right? You just said you have to show results along the way. Hey, you know, it's the same thing again, going back to a relationship. Oh, our relationship's going to be great in, you know, 18 months. If somebody that you're dating says that to you, that's not a good sign. Is it'll be great in 18 months, but it's not, we're not going to show any value, any, you know, whatever you want to say about that, but it's not going to work for 18 months. And then all of a sudden it'll be great. No, like that's not how you build trust. That's not how you build momentum. It's not how, and again, people are wanting value now. So how do you play all of that together while still building up something that is maintainable and scalable in that productized way? I think it all kind of circles back again to that, like, what are we doing and why? And how frustrating that single question of what are we doing and why is all of data. I mean, it's kind of all of business, but like, and yet we can't answer that easily. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I totally understand.
So, I mean, we've covered a whole heck of a lot of things. We were looking at maybe covering even a wider range, but you know, we're coming in on an hour here. So, is there anything that we didn't cover that you really wanted to, or any specific way that you'd like to kind of wrap up the content of the episode?
Yeah, what I'd like to reinforce is that I think the role of the data leader is the key to keep working with the culture. It's the one point that you've mentioned, and I totally agree. A lot of what we're facing are related to the culture of data-driven. And we're going to have it as soon as it's clear for all the people involved in this process. And that's the reason why I think the data leader is the key of this work. So my recommendation would be to have this, like, to develop these skills related to product, keep working and evolving the communication skills, of course, studying techniques and new techniques that are emerging. But your key as a leader is pretty important for you, for your team, and for the company as a whole. And I think with it, having it clear also for you, it will be important, it will be the key to have this culture being tended and evolving. So I would consider this, and of course, having in mind how to solve the problems instead of just thinking about the solution. At the end, we need to solve the problems that we have.
Yeah, I think getting people to lean in that conversation, right? Like, how do you engage somebody to get them to help them or to help you help them, right? That kind of aspect. So, well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that would love to follow up with you. Is there any specific place that you'd like that or any specific topic that you'd like people following up about?
Sure. You can follow me at the LinkedIn. It's J Miliomi, or you can contact me in my website, jessicamiliomi.com.
Yeah, we'll drop links to those in the show notes as well for so people can easily follow up with you. But again, Jessica, thank you so much for your time here today. And as well, thank you everyone out there for listening.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
I'd again like to thank my guest today, Jessica Milhoman, who's the Analytics Engineering Manager at Nubank. You can find a link to her LinkedIn in the show notes as per usual. Thank you. Hopefully that interview episode was really useful for you. Please do consider getting in touch with guests from the show, from these episodes. Most have said they'd really love people to reach out to them. And please, as well, if you've got a minute, rate and review the podcast somewhere. It really is honestly super helpful for other people looking into kind of data podcasts to kind of get this in front of them. Data Mesh Radio is again provided as a free community resource by Data Mesh Understanding. It's produced and hosted by me, Scott Herleman. In April of 2023, I left DataStax, who were wonderful in getting the Data Mesh community stuff started, so give them a shout for streaming and real-time AI needs. But I left to start my own industry analyst kind of information as a service firm. Our offerings are affordable, and you can do them on a one-off or a month-to-month basis. You know, read kind of, throw it on the credit card. Don't worry about like going through purchasing and things like that. The services include lots of practitioner roundtables, you know, one-on-one data mesh kind of planning or feedback sessions and tailored introductions to other data mesh practitioners that are focused around your topics of interest. You know, what are you actually running into challenges with? We also have some free programs around introductions and roundtables that people can kind of check out as well. Check the show notes or just go to datameshunderstanding.com for more info or helpful resources. As always, if you have suggestions for guests or topics, please do get in touch as well. And have a wonderful rest of your day. Now let's hear that funky outro music.